Please pay attention to the little note we put on the top of your program.
Amen.
Okay? To make sure that we are on the right mood and in the right perspective. This is a very special moment, very special event, and it will be a special experience for all of you, all of us. Being exposed to new ideas, stretching your mind, and hopefully helping you to grow and understand better the other, and therefore understand better yourself. I would like to start with a story which was mentioned in the beginning of that event this morning, a story which was stolen from us, but just want to share this story again. This is a very old story. It's a medieval story. In fact, it's a story which was told in ancient Hebrew text. And then this story was taken over, repeated all the time. And then even we have this story, of course, it was mentioned. It was taken over by Lessing, revised and popularized. We can find even this story in Shakespeare, by the way. This is a story about a father who was about to die. And he called his three sons to entertain them about the inheritance. And he said to them, "Listen, I have something precious to give to you, a treasure. Here are three rings. One ring for each one. And this is a very special ring we have here. Among these three, we have one of them which has magic power. The one who will wear that ring, something special will happen to him, a miracle. He will be a good man. The only problem, you see," he said to his three sons, "is that the three rings are there identical, and I don't know which one is the right one. So how are we going to know which one is the right one?" And this is the lesson which was mentioned this morning, and we are going to repeat that lesson again during the day. The only way to know that the ring is authentic, genuine sign that I am his son or his daughter, is not to be found in the ring, but it's to be found in you. That's the lesson. In other words, don't try to find a proof that you have the right ring in the ring, but the only proof that you have the right ring is to be found in you. And this is the same thinking we have in that particular question which I put as a title for our reflection this morning: whose son are you? By the way, this is a question which is used, which was used in the ancient time, and still being used in Arabic, even contemporary Near Eastern culture, in order to know who you are. You know what they are. They're not asking necessarily what's your name or who are you. They're saying, "Whose son are you? Whose son are you?" It's a way of knowing who you are. And we have that same question, by the way, in the Hebrew Scriptures and also in the New Testament. Whose son are you? Now, how are we going to know that we are the children of Abraham? Because this is what you are going to answer today. If we ask you the question, "Whose son are you?" you are going to say, "Oh, we are the children of Abraham. Our father is Abraham." And I would like to, right now, for a few minutes, reflect with you, what does it mean that we are the children of Abraham? What does it mean that we are saying our father Abraham? What do we say when we say this? First thing we say, of course, very obvious. We are talking about our filiation. We are talking about a connection, a special connection we have with this person who happens to be in the past, who is no longer here. We just refer to him in the past. So when we ask whose son are you? We are saying, in fact, something about a connection between me and him, some kind of genetic connection. Our father is Abraham. This is who I am. This is my DNA. Our father is Abraham. But this is more than that. Of course, it means more than a genetic DNA or a genealogy to prove our nobility. The fact that we are the descendant of a prince, and therefore we can be proud of it. It means, first of all, of course, in that perspective of filiation, of affirming filiation, it means, of course, immediately responsibility. We are responsible for the name we are projecting. Whatever we do, say something about our father. We are affirming, we are making a statement about that kind of connection between me, between us, and the father who is no longer here. So our identity, in a way, has to do with remembering. And the more we remember well, the more we will project the right image. The more we are faithful to the heritage which was transmitted to us, the more we are saying something correct about our filiation. And this is often the first lesson we are learning. A lesson about our connection with the past. The fact that we want to be faithful, we don't want to betray the heritage which was given to us. And this is mostly the way we interpret this connection. The fact that we are the children of Abraham means, we are affirming when we are saying that there is a special connection between us and this father. We are referring to the past here. But the story we just told before as a parable is not talking about the past. The lesson, the proof of you being the children of Abraham is not to be found in the past. It is to be found in the present. How far is the ring affecting who you are? What is the impact of the ring on you? If there is no impact, if in the present there is nothing about your behavior which says something about the ring, that means you don't have the right ring, perhaps. So that's the first statement we are making, a statement which affirms the past. And this is, in fact, the way we could say conservative people would say, and put the word conservative, of course, in quotation mark, because sometimes it has all kinds of connotation. Conservative means just to remember the past. But what we are learning here is that to be the children of Abraham has to do with the present. It's not enough to refer to the past. The past is important, but it's not enough. We have to look in the present, who we are right now. What is the effect of the ring on us? What is the proof of the filiation? Is it in the ring? Is it in my remembrance? The proof of the filiation, I would like to suggest, is my relationship with a brother. With a brother, if I am a Christian, who is a Muslim or a Jew? If I am a Jew, with a Muslim and a Christian. And if you are a Muslim, with a Christian and with a Jew. The proof that you are the children of Abraham is the fact that you are brothers. Brotherhood, and this is what I would like to suggest and share with you this morning, that kind of reflection. Brotherhood is the sign of sonhood. And let me just make a very ordinary, common sense observation. The proof that he is your father, that we have a common father, is that you are brothers. And the first affirmation you are making is that there is something in common. When you are brothers, I grew up as we were in our family four brothers and sisters, and it was enough to see us to know that who was our father, because we look like each other. So the first proof that you have the common father, I would like to suggest, is that you look like each other. There is a resemblance. There is something common. And we would like to just remind you a number of this common point here quickly. Of course, the one of the common point is that there is God, that he is the creator, that he is the savior, that we believe in the existence of God. That's our common point versus other people who do not believe that God exists. We have here three sons who have the same belief of one God who does exist versus the other people who are saying he doesn't exist. We have the same stories, the same laws, the same heroes, and most of it, I should say in that particular reflection this morning, the same reference to Abraham, our father. And by the way, when we say the same reference to Abraham, our father, we don't just mention the fact that we have a number of common stories. In fact, we have within the three traditions, by the way, the Jewish, the Christian, and the Muslim, this memory of Abraham being the friend of God. In the three traditions, we have this idea that Abraham was the friend of God. And I will come back to that later on. So we are all the children of one person who happens to be the friend of God. It's important to emphasize and to recognize commonalities, but it's also important, I should say, to recognize differences. It's easy to say we look like each other and feel comfortable with, you know, the other who looks like me, of course. But as soon as this person looks different, then there is a little problem, and we tend then to forget that he is my brother. And so this is another aspect, by the way, another proof that he is the son. This is what I would like to, that he is, we are the same, we are the children of the same father. And the fact that, well, he doesn't like me, he doesn't look like me. The differences, in fact, paradoxically, could be considered as something precious to help us discover the face of the Father. Well, you know, it's a very logical thinking I'm saying, if I may say so. If I recognize him, the other brother, as my brother, he is also the son of Abraham. Then if he is also the son of Abraham, then he must have something there which reminds me of Abraham himself. You see, when you are with brothers and sisters, and I see my sisters once in a while, and I saw my brothers, it's not just because he looked like me that I liked him. It's because also, to a certain extent, he reminded me of my father in a way which I could not remind myself. There was something there which I didn't have, which was in fact different than what I was, which reminded my father. And because he reminded my father in a way which was not mine, I liked him. He was my brother. He was witnessing, reminding me, a face which I could not recognize in my mirror. But I recognized in his face something which came from my father. So, to see, to look at him will help me to recognize the face of Abraham. We are going to talk about the three faces of Abraham. And I would like to have a pause, and it was, I think we had a nice reflection just before, you know, by Dr. Pauline, and I would like to go with him on that kind of boat he has suggested to us. And this will help us also understand the nature of brotherhood. to learn that in order to be able to be the son of Abraham, we need to learn to be brothers in the present. There is in each faith a special accent. We don't have time here to develop all these accents and all the religions there, but there is a special accent, and Dr. Pauline has mentioned them just before. A special emphasis which may help me to remember the faith of my father Abraham, and which will help me to refresh my identity as the son of Abraham. And by the way, this observation which was mentioned by Dr. Pauline of looking at the three specific accents, the three specific special emphasis of the three monotheistic religions, by the way, it was done already in the past, and it is recovered these days. We have someone, in a Jewish tradition like Yehuda Halevi, who has been, in the Kuzari, who has been thinking about, the special emphasis of the three religions. We have recently had a writing by Hans Küng, who also recognized that there is a special emphasis, a special accent in each faith here, which deserves our attention. And, I was surprised and really intrigued and interested by even the speech which was given by Mohammed El-Baradei, the Nobel Peace Prize of 2005, who also mentioned those three accents in his speech of the which was given at the Nobel Peace Ceremony. And what are these three accents? Of course, when we have a few minutes, we cannot avoid simplification and sketches, but I think we have to recognize there is something there significant enough to be recognized as really accent, emphasis. And when we look at those three accents, we can say, well, it is true. In Judaism, we have the accent on Torah, on ethics, on justice, on the deed, on the work, on the tikkun olam, trying to repair the world. Because the accent is on creation, there is affirmation and celebration of life, the value of creation, value of the Sabbath, which tells us that creation is positive, and the accent here is on the God of history, the God Adonai, the God we praise. That's what we find. That's the specific accent we have in Judaism. In Christianity, the accent, of course, as it has already pointed out, is on love, on grace, on faith. The accent is put there on the proximity of God, so much so that he goes down and becomes Emmanuel, the God with us. And this is there, the God of salvation, the God we love. And the third accent, the third faith, Islam, the accent there, I should say, is on the transcendence of God, on the absolute, on the otherness of God, on the grandeur of God, and on the importance of judgment, Allah Akbar, the great God. And by the way, all these three features are found in each of those three religions. I'm not saying that this is something which is just these traits which I indicated. I'm not saying that they are just found in Judaism or just found in Christianity or just found in Islam. We find these three features in the three religions. But there is a special accent, a special emphasis in each one of them, and this is what I'm saying. Well, I'm wondering, by the way, what would happen if we would be bold enough to bring those three accents together? The song you heard is making a statement, bringing in the music, because it's always more bearable to hear it in music than in words. Here in the music, some kind of strange, mysterious combination of the three voices. What would happen if those three accents would come together? From a Christian perspective, which is our perspective, and that's the only perspective we are allowed to speak of, we should not speak about the perspective taken by the other. This is not our right. From our perspective, from a Christian perspective, I'm wondering what Christians could learn from the accents we find in the two other faiths. And I would like to expose to you some suggestions here. From a Christian perspective, what could Christian learn from Judaism? That would be the first question I would like to suggest to you. Well, of course, Christianity would learn that in touch with Judaism, that it is impossible to love when there is no justice. That speaking about faith without the deed doesn't mean anything. That the New Testament without the Old Testament doesn't mean anything. And you understand, you, by the way, note in passing that I am using words which are burning my lips because I'm using the Old Testament and the New Testament as if the Old is no longer there and the New has replaced it. But in touch with Judaism, Christianity will learn the precious treasure which is there in the Hebrew Scriptures, which has not been replaced by the New Testament, so-called New Testament, but has its place. From Islam, Christianity would learn, Christianity which emphasizes the proximity of God, and which emphasizes this proximity of God so much that ultimately this God has become so near, so close, that he has become this little toy we can manipulate, and we've lost the sense of the great God, the transcendent God. So Christianity would learn, in touch with Islam, that as Christianity is emphasizing the immanence of God, the proximity of God, it is also important to remember that God is also distant, that God is transcendent, that God is serious. It's important to learn to revere this God and not just to enjoy it. Maybe this is in these tensions which you are noticing right now, that perhaps there is some kind of truth to be found. If only Christianity was attentive to the two other accents, maybe Christianity will refresh its roots and become closer to Abraham himself, because they have adopted two features of Abraham which had been lost. And this is not for nothing, by the way, and that would be really appropriate to refer here to the great Abraham Heschel, who said that no religion is an island. And we need to understand that. We need to learn that. And perhaps we who are in this particular secluded place, holy place, cut from the others, we need to understand that no religion is an island. And that's the only way to realize that you are the son of Abraham is to be acquainted, to be in touch, to know, to learn from the two other faiths, to become brothers. The only way to show your filiation, the only way to show that you are the son of Abraham is to show that you are a brother. We need to learn to be brothers, because brotherhood is the sign of sonhood. We need to learn to love each other. We need to learn to support each other. We need to learn from each other. In fact, I have here a quotation from the Quran which says that you have been created from a pair that is male and female, and made up into nations and tribes, that you may know each other. That's why we have been created from a pair. pair. Why form a pair, a couple, so that you know each other? Then there are tribes and nations, so that you know each other, not to dispute each other or to show our superiority or to show, as I have reminded in your program here, quoting a passage from Marvin Wilson, disputes are often fueled because those who have sought to make Abraham exclusively theirs have in the process demonized the others. The only way to show that you have, I'm repeating that because this is not an easy truth and this is not something we have heard often, the only way that you have to show that you are the son of Abraham is to show that you have, that he is your brother. It is important for our own identity as children of Abraham. It is also important for our religious identity, not just to show culturally that I am the son of Abraham and therefore I have simply to remember a tradition, but it has also something else in it, to show as we are brothers and sisters that at the same time we are witnessing about a God who transcends the three brothers. We learned that Abraham was the friend of God. So if we are able to manifest in our life and in our relationship with the brothers and sisters, then we will become witnessing about our filiation. We will become affirming our identity as sons of Abraham. And at the same time, as we are making that statement, if we are related to Abraham, if we want to affirm our filiation to Abraham, that's another aspect of it. We are witnessing to another relationship, another friendship. If you are a friend with Abraham, if you have a connection with Abraham, you should be also a friend with God, because the friends of my friends are my friends.